Court is ready to hear argument in 051092, Russell Gaines and Southwest Guarantee Mortgage Corporation versus Roger Kelly.
May it please the Court. The issue before this Court in this commercial case is whether there is any evidence in the record that Mr. Robert Thompson was an agent by estoppel of Russ Gaines and Southwest Guarantee for negotiating a loan. Whether the alleged failure by Mr. Gaines to correct a reference to Mr. Thompson as his agent is some evidence of agency by estoppel. Essentially, agency by estoppel, by silence. In this regard, there are really two issues before the Court. One, whether estoppel by silence can ever be available in any agency by estoppel case, essentially double estoppel. And even assuming apparent agency could be established by estoppel by silence, whether there is evidence to support its application in this case.
Let's talk about the conduct of the parties here. Wasn't there a situation where this person held himself out as an individual to place a loan?
I understand your question, Your Honor. Are you asking about Mr. Thompson holding himself out?
Yes.
Well, whatever Mr. Thompson may do, it has to be the actions and the conduct of the principal as holding Mr. Thompson out. Mr. Thompson can't hold himself out as the agent, and thereby that's not evidence of apparent authority. It has to be the conduct of the principal in clothing the purported agent with the indicia of authority. In this case, it would be the indicia of authority to actually negotiate a loan.
And there was no affirmative act by the principal to acquiesce to this conduct?
No, Your Honor.
Where would the record doesn't seem clear as to where the forms came from, the Southwest forms.
I think the record is clear, Your Honor, that the forms that were used came from Mr. Gaines. There is testimony in the record. Mr. Thompson testified that he had Southwest Guarantee forms. But there is no testimony that those were the forms that were used. The testimony is all that those forms came from Mr. Gaines through Mr. Thompson. In fact, the testimony is, and this as an important distinction between this and the Walker insurance case, which is relied on heavily by Mr. Kelly, Mr. Thompson was the best bird dog, is how they refer to it, to get the application over to Mr. Kelly and signed it back to Mr. Gaines.
But is there any evidence where the unused forms came from that Mr. Thompson had?
No.
Did those forms, say an application, does that have a signature blank for the loan to be approved?
Yes.
And did those forms have Mr. Thompson as being the signee for Southwest or somebody actually with Southwest?
That's a very good question. And the form was to be signed by Mr. Gaines, and that's an important distinction between this case and a lot of the insurance agent cases, because in those cases, those forms specifically reference an agency relationship. They specifically reference the insurance agent as being in a position to execute the document on behalf of the insurance company. And there's no reference to any agency relationship on these forms. There's only the Southwest Guarantee letterhead. And so basically, anytime you have somebody courier a document with a letterhead or some indicia that it belongs to a X company, you run the risk that that person who's basically shuttling the documents becomes an agent. And particularly in this case, they are trying to make Mr. Thompson into a general agent, an agent who had the scope of authority to make the call on the loan, because their entire case rests on a comment by Mr. Thompson that it was a quote-unquote done deal. And from that point, they ceased any further attempts to find alternate financing. So that they're basically clothing Mr. Thompson with the full authority to negotiate the loan. And he never, and this is an important distinction with the Walker case as well, Walker Insurance Services, because in the Walker case, agency was found and the putative agent was involved in negotiations. If there's a lot of distinctions between Walker, and in fact, Mr. Kelly places a lot of emphasis on the Walker case. I'll just take a minute to, because it falls in line with the questions that are being raised here. In Walker, the putative agent spent 8 to 10 weeks negotiating and preparing the transaction. Here, there is no evidence that Mr. Thompson was involved in negotiation, only that he was shuttling documents. The contact in the Walker case at all times was with the putative agent. He was the point man, as testified in that case. In this case, Mr. Thompson is referred to as the bird dog to get things done. In Walker, the plaintiff had to go through the putative agent. In this case, substantive contact was with Mr. Gaines. In the Walker case, a principal confirmed his understanding of the putative agent's authority. In this case, there is no confirmation, only the alleged failure to correct, a statement that Mr. Gaines was, excuse me, that Mr. Thompson was the agent of Mr. Gaines in Southwest Guarantee. There's no evidence that Mr. Gaines even heard that statement. And in an estoppel by silence case, if that's going to be any evidence, the person who has the duty to speak under an estoppel by silence doctrine has to know the facts in order to have the duty to speak. And there's no evidence that Mr. Gaines even knew that Mr. Kelly or his lawyer, Mr. Bullard, with whom most of the contact was in this case, thought that Mr. Thompson was the agent of Mr. Gaines.
Would you draw a distinction here between an agent for delivery and an agent for negotiation?
Yes.
Could you expand on that a little bit?
Well, I mean, the scope of agency is, I think, very fundamental to what's going on in this case.
I mean, you don't deny that he was an agent for delivery.
He was delivering the documents. There's no question that he was. I mean, whatever authority an agent for delivery has, by virtue of delivering documents, I think what we would add a great deal of uncertainty and risk to doing business in the state of Texas if by simply delivering documents, a person then somehow clothed with the indicia of authority to call the deal, to settle how the deal goes, then we might wind up in the position where you can't have anybody in that sort of position, that you have to deliver the documents yourself, that everything has to be in a person-to-person kind of a meeting. And that's not what the law is, and I think it would, basically I think Mr. Kelly is asking this court to expand the law so such that an agent for delivery would become a general agent. Again, and just to go back briefly to the Walker case, in the Walker case, the principal accepted the deal that the agent was. There was a ratification, and there's obviously no ratification in this case. And the question is raised about the paperwork and how Mr. Thompson came about the paperwork. There's no evidence in the record that Mr. Gaines, on behalf of Southwest Guarantee, knew Mr. Thompson had any paperwork. And there's no evidence in the record that Mr. Kelly knew that Mr. Thompson had paperwork with Southwest Guarantee letterhead on it. And therefore, it goes to the reliance. If he didn't know, it can't be evidence that he relied on at the time to believe that Mr. Thompson was his agent. That statement, Mr. Thompson's statement, that he had forms belonging to Southwest Guarantee, that was at a deposition years after this. There's no evidence that anybody knew at the time. Mr. Gaines, Mr. Kelly, Mr. Bullard, were Mr. Kelly's other lawyer, Mr. Stocker, that anybody knew that Thompson had paperwork from an earlier deal. We don't know. We don't even know how Mr. Thompson had that paperwork. And there's no evidence in the record how he got it and that he used it for anything.
What should have Kelly done, if anything, after he was told it was a done deal? Should not have relied on that and looked to someone else to confirm if it's a done deal or not? Or what should he have done?
Well, that's a very good question, too, Your Honor, because one of the elements in an apparent agency is justifiable reliance. And what Mr. Kelly, there's no evidence that Mr. Kelly justifiably relied on this putative agency relationship, and therefore the statement made by the putative agent that it's a done deal. Mr. Kelly's case hinges on this done deal, and he claims in reliance he stopped seeking alternative funding to purchase the property in question. But he had been looking for a funding source for the entire year of 1998. In order to close on this option, by year's end, he contacted Mr. Thompson in late November, after having looked all year for another alternative source. Mr. Thompson, in turn, contacted Mr. Gaines. However, there is no evidence in the record that Mr. Kelly or his lawyers, who were working with him on this thing, were talking with any other funding source at this time, much less that there was a funding source that could give him a deal on similar terms as those he was negotiating with Mr. Gaines and Southwest Guarantee. Mr. Kelly is seeking the difference between the deal he finally wound up with Eight Diamonds, and the deal he would like to have gotten with Mr. Gaines. But the action taken is a negative. He ceased looking for alternative funding sources. But there's no evidence he was looking for funding sources. There's no evidence that he actually relied on it, that he had a deal set up that he could have done in place of what he had going with Mr. Gaines.
Under what situation would Mr. Kelly be entitled to relief? What type of fact scenario? Because it seems to me, not knowing this industry but having limited experience, that nothing's a done deal until it gets funded.
Well, I would certainly agree with your assertion, Your Honor, that nothing is a done deal until it gets funded. I'm not real clear. If I were in Mr. Kelly's position and the deal wasn't done, I would have continued to exercise all my alternatives in terms of trying to get funding for the deal. Instead of, you have somebody who's simply delivering documents to you and taking them back to Mr. Gaines and Southwest Guarantee to get them executed, and this person says, well, it's a done deal, and so you stop looking for other funding, and you've got a deadline at the end of the year to try and get a loan in order to close on this option. And what he says is, his reliance argument is that he stopped looking for alternative funding.
What if it's a principal that says it's a done deal, and for whatever reason it doesn't get funded? Is there a cause of action there?
Well, if the principal says it's a done deal, I think then you get into the issue of a promissory estoppel, and there you've got a similar reliance sort of an argument. Let's say Mr. Gaines had actually said it's a done deal, and then Mr. Kelly was here before this court saying, well, as a result of Mr. Gaines' statement it was a done deal, I stopped looking for alternative funding. I think then the court has to ask, what alternative funding was there? What were your other options? Because the trial court found and the appellate court upheld that there was no contract. So in that case, you'd be looking at some sort of quasi-contractual or promissory estoppel sort of an argument as to what he actually did in reliance. The record doesn't have any evidence that he did rely on it. If you look at all the estoppel cases rely heavily on reliance. If in fact, they just say, well, he's told me that, but they can't prove how that affected ultimately what they did, then they're foreclosed. There's no remedy because, if in this case he said, I was also talking to X Bank, and X Bank was prepared to give me a deal on the same terms,
right,
And as a result of what of Mr. Gaines directly telling, or in this case, through the agency of Mr. Thompson, I think we'd be in a position to say, well, there's some evidence that he could have gotten a similar deal because there's he was talking to X. There's nothing like that in this case. I'm out of time.
Time has expired, Mr. Larson. Thank you. The court is now ready to hear arguments from the respondent.
May it please the court. Mr. David, present argument to the respondent.
May it please the court. I believe the Supreme Court said it best in setting the tone for what we're here today on back in 1982 when it stated, it is the ultimate interest of persons employing agents, as well as for the benefit of the public, that persons dealing with agents should be able to rely apparently upon true statements by agents who are purporting to act and are apparently acting in the interest of the principal.
What evidence is there that Southwest Guarantee held out Robert Thompson as its agent?
I think we have to look at two different agencies to get to that point. One, we have the agency relationship between Robert Thompson and Roger Kelly, another one between Robert Thompson and Russell Gaines. And what's important of that is there was an advisory fee agreement between Robert Thompson and Roger Kelly.
I'm sorry, there was what?
An advisory fee agreement wherein Robert Thompson set out he was going to go and obtain and negotiate a loan on behalf of Roger Kelly. That set up a fiduciary relationship. That set up an agency relationship. As a part of that relationship, I think we can get into this estoppel by silence issue that has been raised by counsel in the briefing. Under that relationship, Robert Thompson had a duty to advise Roger Kelly of any other relationships he obtained. And he advised Roger Kelly of that relationship that he entered into with Russell Gaines, that he was now in a dual agency capacity with Russell Gaines.
Where is that evidence?
That is
he said he was in a dual capacity.
That is, I believe that's in the affidavit of Roger Kelly.
Okay, well, regardless of what Thompson said, I mean, my understanding is we have to look at what Gaines said and what Southwest Guarantee said in terms of the apparent authority of its agent. Would you agree with that?
Yes, Your Honor.
And so what evidence is there from Southwest Guarantee Gaines that they held him out, that they clothed him with this authority?
I believe there are two statements by Russell Gaines. One is where he places, he says, Robert Thompson is the best bird dog to get it done. I guess, and the key word in that statement is it. What does it mean? I think that's, you know, what this case hinges on today. Does it just mean to deliver the paperwork, or does it mean to get the negotiations and all the loan work done? It's our position that to get it done means the whole loan process. Because the persons that Roger Kelly and his attorneys were dealing with in this loan process was Robert Thompson solely. Up until the time of the loan commitment, when Roger Kelly's attorneys talked to Russell Gaines to go down the checklist to make sure everything was done through Robert Thompson.
All everything you do is selling the house is through a broker. But the broker can't agree, you know, I've decided I'm going to sell your house to them for this amount. I mean, that's not the broker's deal. The broker carries the message this way and that way and back and forth. But the people have to sign off on the agreement. I wouldn't want my broker telling me I just sold my house, would you?
No, Your Honor.
Well, isn't that all Thompson was doing?
What Thompson was doing is he had negotiated loans, and there is evidence in the record that prior to this Roger Kelly loan, this loan process, that he had done loans on behalf of Southwest Guarantee before. And as far as the evidence of how he got the documents in his possession.
When you say done loans,
he had handled loans on
when
behalf
you
of.
You say handled. Done, whatever.
He found a financing.
He had never negotiated the terms of the loans, had he?
I'm not aware whether he had negotiated terms or not before the Roger Kelly, but he had worked with Southwest Guarantee on numerous occasions. That's one way he got the
forms. Sure, he never signed on behalf of Southwest.
I don't believe he ever signed on behalf of.
So
if that was all.
So here's my problem. If you knew the guy couldn't sign on behalf of Southwest, how come you knew it was okay for you to believe that he could say orally it's a done deal? Seems to me that's the same thing, isn't it?
I believe it's the same because everything that in the past, every aspect of this loan application, the loan process, was handled with Robert Thompson.
Right, but you knew he couldn't sign for him. Your guy never says in his affidavit, I thought Thompson could sign.
Right.
There's nothing in the papers suggesting Thompson was going to sign.
That's correct.
So if you can't sign, how can you say it's a done deal? How do you have, it seems like that's the same authority.
Well, that goes back to all the other statements that Robert Thompson, which, of course, this court doesn't look at for this agency relationship in setting up what Roger Kelly believed was the authority of Robert Thompson. I mean, getting on back to the loan document issue, there is a statement that Russell Gaines made that I don't know how I got these loan documents to him. I may have sent him, I may have faxed him, but somehow I got these documents to him. That is in Russell Gaines.
But how is that different from, is there a reason not to compare this to the insurance context where you have a recording agent, a soliciting agent? Why wouldn't that be an apt analogy?
Because here you have one person handling the entire process from negotiation, which he had agreed to do on behalf of Roger Kelly. Robert Thompson agreed in that advisory fee agreement. And then you have Russell Gaines stating that Thompson solicited, that he used Thompson to solicit this loan.
So you'd agree we could use that analogy to the insurance context of recording versus soliciting agent. You just think you meet that test here.
Yes, sir.
Well, the other thing is that certainly there's no claim that Thompson had the authority to negotiate the terms of the deal anyway. The conditions, for example, that Mr. Kelly had title to the property. The argument seems to imply that, well, Thompson could waive that condition because when the financing didn't come through and the conditions weren't met, that he was bound anyway because he said, let's get this deal done.
Where Thompson, party at the end of this, is he said, well, Robert Kelly did not own the property, he was attempting to buy from a partner, and then Robert Thompson comes in, well, no, we need to actually say this is a refinance, not a purchase coming from Gaines. And there's a part and parcel of the negotiation process, whether you're negotiating for a refinance or whether you're negotiating for a new loan, for new property. So that is an integral part of the negotiation process that Thompson interjected himself into by his statement that this is what Russell Gaines told me we need to do.
And that Thompson had the authority to conduct those negotiations.
Yes, sir. That was our understanding. And
okay, your understanding on the basis from what? Just because of what he said?
The fact that all dealings were with Robert Thompson. Robert Thompson had all the loan documents. Everything was submitted through Robert Thompson. Nothing was done with Russell Gaines until the end, until the checklist was gone through to be sure that all items on that needed to process the loan was done, the letter of commitment to be signed and issued, which it was. Anything needed to be cleared up, anything needed to be done, anything needed to be changed, all went through Robert Thompson, not Russell Gaines.
So when any person comes in and conducts that sort of negotiation or discussing the terms, that will always have the effect of binding some principal, even though there's no evidence that the principal agreed to do that?
I think if there's an issue of what you can and can't do, Robert Thompson could have said, you got to talk with Russell Gaines about this. I don't have the authority to discuss this. That never took place. Everything that took place with the negotiation of the loan, with the loan application of the process, went through Robert Thompson.
What if Thompson had three different lenders on the line? And Thompson was saying, look, they're all going to have these deals. They're all going to have a title policy at some point. Here's a way we need to say it's a refinance for all of them. None of them will do it. And then he comes back and he says, instead of Gaines, he comes back and says it was Company C, done deal with Company C. Is Company C then bound, even though he's got three applications he's handling for Kelly?
There again, that depends on the facts and the relationship that Robert Thompson and that Robert Kelly had, and the understandings they had in the relationship to these other two loan companies.
Well, under Kelly, I mean, he'd be dealing with the same thing with Thompson. Aren't we in the same situation? Thompson, in this case, is dealing with three different companies. Kelly's dealing with Thompson. Thompson's got three of them he's negotiating with to get the best deal, actually, for Kelly. And he goes to Kelly and says, C's going to give you the best deal. It's a done deal. Does that then bind C?
I believe you still have to have other facts. You still have to understand, did Robert Thompson keep the loan documents for all these companies? Did he act in dual agency capacity for Roger Kelly and for this other company?
Let's assume all of it's the same. Does Thompson get to pick I mean, Kelly thinks Thompson can bind all of these people, and Thompson is able to bind all of these people just because he's dealing with Kelly, and he's got the same situation with all of them. He just gets a little, he said it's a little better deal with C. You get a little better interest rate. In that case, Kelly can use Thompson to bind C or B or Gaines.
Assuming the same set of facts, and exactly. Done deal was set on all three?
Right. So they're all three done deals, except C gives you a little better interest rate.
And that gets to the point of who actually gives a letter of commitment, who actually says, I'm going to give the loan. Saying it's a done deal, it may be one thing. When you follow through,
so did Gaines give him a letter of commitment? Did Kelly get the letter of commitment from Gaines?
Yes, Your Honor.
And there were no qualifications in it. It was a done deal letter?
Yes, Your Honor. It was a done deal. We got the letter of commitment, and it was signed off by Southwest Guarantee and Roger Kelly.
And Southwest said, you don't have to, I mean, you got the money. You don't have to prove you own it. You don't have to prove anything. You've got the money.
I don't have to say you got the money. It's letter of commitment. We will fund this loan. As it turned out, Southwest Guarantee lost their source of funding, or possibly never even had a source of funding. That was a contention in the Court of Appeals. In discovery, we were not allowed to find out who the sources of funding were, whether there even were sources of funding. But I think, going back to your point, I may have covered this, but it depends on whether you do or do not get a letter of commitment. I think just a statement done deal does not necessarily in and of itself rise to cause of action. It's that along with letter of commitment. And that's what we have in this case.
And a letter of commitment from Gaines.
Yes, Your Honor. Southwest Guarantee. And I want to point out one thing about the Court of Appeals and its opinion. And the statements they make and the facts they look to were the actions of Thompson. And then they go inside the apparent authority. I think what they failed to do is go one further step. And that's one thing I tried to do in my brief is point to the actions of Russell Gaines, which was shown agency. What the Court of Appeals didn't do, unfortunately, is state the law where you have to look at the action of the agent, the principal in finding agency. That's one step the Court of Appeals left out. That's what I tried to do in my brief and do today, is point to the actions of Russell Gaines, which show the agency, which is he gave the loan documents to be completed to Robert Thompson. He said he would be the best bird dog to get it done, would mean in the loan process to get it done. And he utilized Thompson to solicit Roger Kelly for the loan. And all the loan process was done through Robert Thompson until the end. It didn't come to Russell Gaines.
Are you making an argument that this is something peculiar to loan financing? These kind of relationships, or doesn't your argument apply to all brokers?
I'm not making it case specific or specific to loan.
I'm just wondering, you know, I've got a daughter applying to college, and I can download their application forms on the college's letterhead. And if she's going to apply to college, I'm the one that's probably going to have to bird dog her to do it because she's not wild about the idea. And so if the communications between the college, they send me letters all the time, I can admit my own daughter to college, and they have to take her.
No, you're right. I don't believe that.
So what's the difference? I haven't done anything more, I don't think, than what Thompson did. Assume I've had two kids before, and they both ended up going to that college, so we've had dealings before. Can I admit my last two daughters without their approval?
No.
Well, so what's the difference?
Difference is, one, we have the relationship between Roger Kelly and Robert Thompson to begin with, which sets up that duty.
I've got a relationship with my daughter.
Which sets up that duty of disclosure for Robert Thompson to say, okay, I'm acting as an agent for you, and now I'm also acting as an agent for Russell Gaines and Southwest Guarantee. And then he goes and he solicits a loan on behalf of Southwest Guarantee. He's supposed to be soliciting loans on behalf of Roger Kelly, but then Russell Gaines admitted that Robert Thompson would solicit this loan on behalf of Southwest Guarantee. He's in an agency capacity at that point. Then he gets loan applications from Russell Gaines from the Southwest Guarantee. And Russell Gaines says that he's the best bird dog to get it done. And as I understand it, the only way to look at that is the entire loan process from negotiation and the start to the end. There's no evidence that a negotiation took place between Roger Kelly or his agents or his attorneys and Russell Gaines before Robert Thompson entered the picture. Then we get this loan, the loan process gets done, the application gets filled out, it gets submitted. Then at that point, we have the contact with Russell Gaines. At that point, we have the checklist going through and everything's fine and approved, the letter of commitment is issued. So the only evidence that there is that the negotiation, the entire process of the loan, until the point of signature of the loan commitment, was with Robert Thompson. So the only evidence that there is of agency is with. So there is plenty of evidence there, we believe, there between Robert Thompson and Southwest Guarantee and Russell Gaines.
But the only thing that I'm still not quite getting is the only thing that you get from Gaines Southwest is the loan documents, which include all these conditions. And if those conditions aren't complied with, and they weren't, evidently, then the loan, then Gaines will not perform pursuant to what his own documents said. Now, how does anything that Thompson do change that?
I think one thing about the loan, about the requirements not being complied with, the requirements were complied with because a checklist was done between one of Roger Clay's attorneys and Russell Gaines, which precipitated the letter of commitment being issued. It was a lack of funding, which is why the loan never went through after the commitment. It wasn't anything Roger Kelly did.
Yeah, I guess I don't understand all those facts. I'll have to look at the record.
I guess Roger Kelly went, I hate to beat a dead horse, but Roger Kelly, during this process, would talk with Robert Thompson about what needed to be done and what the requirements for these loans were. The application was done. It was finally submitted to Robert Thompson and finally got to Russell Gaines. And when it got to Russell Gaines, Mr. Bullard, one of Russell Kelly's attorneys, went and contacted Russell Gaines to find out, here's our checklist on what we need to get this loan commitment. Have we complied with everything? And during that conversation, we found out everything was complied with. At that point, the loan commitment was issued. Nothing more to do for Roger Kelly but show up at closing for the loan to take place.
But why did they need a closing if there was nothing else to do? Wasn't there some kind of a title commitment or title search that had to be made and things of that nature?
Well, if Roger Kelly's duty as far as the loan itself was done, through the checklist, the letter of commitment was issued. At that point, as far as the loan is concerned, to get the commitment to get it done, he was finished. At that point, at some point in the next few days or so, the financing, for whatever reason, whether it was there or not, we don't know, the financing didn't take place, and Mr. Gaines pulled the letter of commitment.
Maybe this is what I'm missing. You say that your client did everything he needed to do and he had the loan commitment, but didn't that included representations as to title? Am I right?
Is it his ownership?
Yes.
There were representations to Robert Thompson as to buying
the property. I'm talking about the loan document itself. Mr. Kelly made representations in obtaining the loan that he had title, at least some degree of title, to the property in question that he was trying to develop. Am I correct?
Trying to recall, what I do recall is he made the representation that it was a refinance when it wasn't, but that was because Robert Thompson said this is what we have to do to get this loan finished.
Well, I guess my point is,
he had a partnership interest in the property.
Right. Okay. My point though is that having done all those things, then the representations that were made, then it became the part of the finance company to do due diligence to determine whether all those things were accurate. And is that where the thing broke down?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, well, I'm still missing.
The only evidence in the record as to why this loan was pulled is when Mr. Stockton, one of Roger Kelly's attorneys, contacted Russell Gaines after finding out that there was not going to be financing. There was a heated discussion. At that point, Russell Gaines pulled the loan commitment. The only evidence is he pulled the loan commitment because of the heated discussion, not because of any other act or malfeasance or misact on the part of Roger Kelly.
Any further questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
This loan didn't close because of problems with title, not because of a loss of source of funding. Those are all disputed facts, and they're not really before the court. The material facts that are before the court have to do with, and the trial court found and the Court of Appeals found, that the loan commitment, all conditions preceding had not been met on the loan commitment, and the loan commitment was not an enforceable document. This is not a breach of contract case. And there are factual disputes as to why the loan didn't fund, but that's not really an issue here. An issue is whether Mr. Thompson had the authority basically to bind Southwest Guarantee to make this loan. The document itself, the loan commitment, all courts that have looked at it have found it did not bind Southwest Guarantee, and it did not bind Mr. Gaines. Then the question is, can Mr. Thompson do so? Through his comment that it's a done deal, when Mr. Gaines has not given him the indicia of authority to negotiate the deal. There is no evidence that he had that scope of authority other than to bird dog these documents. And in fact, even that comment, that he was the best bird dog to get it done, was made in Mr. Gaines' deposition, again, years after the fact.
But there's a statement that Mr. Thompson handled the entire transaction. Is that true or is that false?
Well, that's false, Judge. That is absolutely false. There are assertions on the part of Mr. Kelly that he did, and there are assertions on the part of Mr. Gaines that he didn't. But he certainly didn't. Mr. Gaines developed all the requirements, the amount, the interest rate, everything was done by Mr. Gaines. Mr. Thompson had no role whatsoever in any of that, and Mr. Kelly can point to nowhere in the record where Mr. Thompson ever actively involved himself in the actual negotiation of the terms of the deal. He didn't have that authority. To find general agency by estoppel, which is really what we're looking at here, if you have the power to bind Southwest Guarantee to the loan, you're a general agent for all purposes, because that's the business. To find general agency by estoppel simply because a person possesses blank paperwork in the business entity in the course of its business would greatly alter the landscape of how mortgage loans are done through a broker in the state and put every mortgage broker at risk of becoming an agent to the funding source. And I would point out, because Mr. Thompson was Kelly's agent, that's undisputed. Whether or not Thompson was Gaines and Southwest Guarantee's agent, that's disputed. And that's the issue that we're presenting argument to this court on right now. But having the blank forms is equally consistent with the conclusion that Thompson was acting as Kelly's agent.
Now, there was a statement made that Mr. Thompson had placed other loans in other type of arrangements. That's not anything we need to look at.
Correct? I would agree with you. If the court has no further questions, I'll turn.
Here are no further questions. Mr. Larson said the call is submitted, and all calls have been submitted this morning.